Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is episode number 193. And my name, as always, is Derek Gallimore. So today I am talking to Jimmy Roa of Sysgen RPO. So I'm fairly familiar with most things BPO, which of course is outsourcing. And this, I actually took a step back and really learned a huge amount today about what RPO is and what it does. So RPO is recruitment process outsourcing. Effectively, it's a specialized vertical of recruitment services within outsourcing. So Jimmy has been working in recruitment and IT and outsourcing to some extent for the last 30 years. So he has a wealth of knowledge and information in IT and outsourcing. And then more recently, in 2013, he entered into the RPO space. Now, if you're thinking, how is this relevant or why is this relevant? I personally learned a huge amount, and I came up with maybe half a dozen really fantastic ideas of how I could utilize this RPO service for my business, or even white label it and take it to the market. So RPO is basically, as I mentioned, the outsourcing of the recruitment process. And Jimmy here is effectively a US recruiter, but sitting in the Philippines. So, again, it's another incredible example of how singular a marketplace this world is becoming, when really there is no advantage or disadvantage or any sort of delineation between now recruiters sitting in the US and recruiters sitting here in the Philippines. They're doing exactly the same job. And Jimmy even talks about bots that are, or automation or AI, that are actually improving the process of recruitment and every other kind of mass scalable process. So it's maybe obvious that I have learned a huge amount in this discussion, and I'm sure you will too. So this is Jimmy Roa of Sysgen RPO. If you want to get in touch with Jimmy or know any more about anything else we mention, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/193. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today I am joined by Jimmy Roa, the CEO of Sysgen RPO. Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Hey, Derek. Hi. It's good to be here. Thanks for this opportunity to have a podcast with you.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time. You're a busy man. So just very briefly, you are, and I'll allow you to introduce yourself, but it's really interesting to talk to you today because you are the CEO of Sysgen RPO. And now we've had a lot of conversations with BPOs. We've had a few conversations with KPOs, and this is an RPO, which is, well, I mean, it literally stands for recruitment process outsourcing. So you are the first, Jimmy, and I really want to deep dive into what that is. But first, want to learn a bit about you and your own journey in the Philippines with outsourcing. So thanks so much for being with us. I suppose initially, are you able just to introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Jimmy Roa, and I'm the CEO of Sysgen RPO. I've been in the recruitment business for the past 27 years. We've been providing staffing and recruitment services here in the Philippines. Our focus has always been in IT. Now, in 2013, we decided to enter the outsourcing field, and we decided to focus on the RPO field, which is basically recruitment process outsourcing. So since 2013, we've been providing support to staffing companies, specifically in the U.S., what we do is that we provide them with sourcers and recruiters here in the Philippines, and the service we provide is really looking for candidates to fill up the jobs that they have there in the U.S. Now, most of the time, it's misunderstood by some people. They think that we're sending Filipinos to the U.S., but that's definitely not the case. What we're doing is that we're providing candidates who live in the U.S. and who are looking for jobs in the U.S.
Right.
So that's a form of outsourcing, but specifically for recruitment, we were created basically to provide, you know, support to staffing companies.
Fantastic.
That's basically it.
And it's difficult for some people to get their heads around, isn't it? And even I, you know, when I'm standing in the Philippines, or certainly when I'm standing in London, and I had a London company with my back office in the Philippines. It was effectively a hotel company, but we had 70% of the staffing here in the Philippines, and people just couldn't get around their heads around the fact that you're a hotel, but you've got 70% of your staff in the Philippines, and is it then, you know, like a booking service? It can be quite complicated sometimes, isn't it? So I'm really want to deep dive with you soon. But first of all, can you, like, what is your origin story? So you said that you were in IT recruitment previously. Now, when you say that, was that sort of recruiting for domestic IT needs within the Philippines, or has there always been a foundation within the kind of IT needs of the outsourcing industry?
When we started in 1991, when we incorporated Sysgen, which is really the original company, we originally started doing software development. But after a few years, this was specifically when the Y2K era came along, software clients were really asking whether we could provide them with IT teams, IT staff. And since at that time we knew how to where and how to get good people, you know, we thought it'd be a good idea to enter that service.
And that was the domestic market, yeah.
That was the domestic market. Okay. That's correct. So at that time, that was about 1996. We started servicing companies like Accenture, and you know, some of the other large companies. So that shifted our focus into recruitment and staffing, but the focus was always in IT.
Right. Okay. So it was effectively just finding the staffing, and with Accenture, and I mean, to give people perspective out there, these companies are just ginormous, and they're actually kind of recruiting monsters, aren't they? Because they can sometimes take on client accounts that need 3,000 people hired and trained within the next month or two, kind of thing. And we spoke to a previous guest who ran Teletech, and they expanded in about 5 years from 60 people up to 24,000 people. So the scale of recruitment for a lot of these people that you mentioned, like Accenture, it really is, it's an absolute science, isn't it? So, you know, were you looking for IT for Accenture themselves, for their own back end, or was it staffing solutions for their own clients?
You know, this was in 1996, so this was like more than 20 years ago. We were basically creating teams to work on their Y2K projects. That was the start. And then from then on, you know, we started doing recruitment for other skills and other roles, but very specific to IT. So, you know, skills like testers or developers or, you know, project managers or business analysts and BI analysts. You know, since then, we've been working in all sorts of IT positions, right? And we've been providing that service to clients here domestically. Like I said, in 2013, you know, we evolved into an offshore RPO company. So we focus on that now. And, you know, the skills that we have as recruiters is something that we can also apply to our clients in the offshore RPO field.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, let's talk about the RPO then, just to take it back to basics. What is an RPO? And you were highlighting before that you are sourcing Philippine-based staff, but for a foreign company requirement. Is that right?
No, I'm sorry. I might have confused you. We work with staffing companies in the US. Staffing
Okay.
companies in the US have their jobs and they need to fill up those jobs in the US. All right.
Right.
From
Gotcha.
the Philippines, we try to source and recruit candidates who are also located in the US.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Right. So we've got access to different databases in the US. We've got access to the job boards. We go through LinkedIn, Indeed, trying to find people who are a good fit for the jobs that those staffing companies need to fill up in the US.
Right. Okay. So effectively, you're almost a U.S. recruitment firm, but you're sitting in the
Yes.
Philippines,
Yes.
and you are working alongside what sort of clients? Are they the big recruiters like the Accentures based in the U.S.?
These would be staffing companies that are based in the US,
Right.
right? Our clientele or our target market are staffing companies in the US who have their own end clients, like Accenture, maybe, or AT&T, or Verizon's. All
Right.
right. So what we do is that we support the staffing company who in turn have those companies as their clients.
Right. Okay. And the reason why they do that and have partnerships such as yourself and not do it themselves, I assume, is that they just need such vast volumes of hires. Is that one of the main reasons?
That's one, when there's a big load of jobs that need to be worked on, then the option of outsourcing is always there, right? Plus, there's also cost efficiencies involved if they look to the Philippines and hire an outsourcing company here or engage an outsourcing company to help them find the candidates that they need to help them find the candidates for their pipelines.
Absolutely. Wow. And so do candidates realize that they are engaging with a Philippine-based company, or in their eyes, is it sort of, are you kind of white labeled and represent whoever you're representing, or are you standing alone
We
as a standalone?
represent the staffing companies that we work for, okay?
Right.
So when we call candidates, we represent ourselves as being part of the staffing company in the US because we don't want to confuse them by, adding a second layer and introducing ourselves as being such an RPO. So instead, we introduce ourselves as being staffing ABCD, okay? And that we're working on a job opportunity in New York, for instance, and that we found you and we sourced you, and it seems that based on your resume, you would be a good fit for this job. And then we continue to interview them, pre-qualify them, vet them, and if we find that they are indeed a good match to the jobs, then we submit them or endorse them to the staffing company.
Right, okay. And just going back a little bit again, the evolution of the outsourcing industry, you worked alongside these outsourcers since about 1991, doing different functions, but how have you seen the recruitment requirements of the sector evolve, predominantly before with literally tens or hundreds of thousands of people? The vast majority of roles were call center, a lot of voice, soft sales or customer support, and now it's moving into every other, a lot more into IT, but also every other kind of operational function, in anything to do with business, basically. How have you seen the sort of recruitment change in response to that?
AI has come into the picture, which basically helps recruiters to pre-qualify specific candidates, correct?
Right.
But in general, a human recruiter is still required to actually vet, these candidates that are out there, specifically or especially when you're dealing with IT people.
Right.
Correct? Yeah. It's easier to use AI, or it's more applicable to use AI for call center agents. But if you go through a different sector, for instance, like IT, then the human factor is still a big part of the process. It's still required, in other words.
But what is, I mean, I'm actually quite surprised by that. But I assume, again, if you're hiring kind of tens of thousands of people, you need to streamline processes. But how does AI have an influence in recruiting of call center staff? What sort of processes does it take care
of? Sure. Like, yeah, you have bots, for instance, who send out messages to potential hires, let's say in Facebook, and ask them a set of questions, which really are pre-qualifying questions, right?
Wow.
So once the bot recognizes one candidate as being qualified based on the initial questions, then it goes through the next stage. Right.
How does it do that? You just have a bot reaching out to literally kind of any sort of predefined demographic in the US and asking questions. And obviously, if they respond, then that's a qualification in itself.
Yes.
Wow.
It's basically, you know, setting a profile and the bot will go through, let's say, Facebook and find different people who fit the profile and then send out questions via the bot.
Wow, that's incredible, huh? What sort of response rate do you get with that? Is it like 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 100, or I suppose it's?
You know, I can't say that I have the right numbers because to be perfectly honest, we don't really focus a lot on call centers. We focus a lot on IT and maybe healthcare in the US. But I have a colleague who I know has used AI for this matter.
Right. Fascinating. Wow. Mm-hmm. And how do you see this expanding? I mean, I see it, you know, the world is really becoming one marketplace now, isn't it? You know, and it would have been beyond kind of comprehension 30 years ago that you would be kind of a US-based recruiter in every way, except the fact that you're kind of sitting here. Do you see that more and more normalizing across the industry? And, you know, I suppose, would you move into general recruitment, end-to-end recruitment? Would you expand into other markets?
Well, you know, that option is always there, and technology allows us to do that because of all the cloud applications, because of everything that's in the internet, you know, the different job boards that are available to you, voice over IP technology, you being able to call people in the US, for instance, and it doesn't even appear that there's a Pacific Ocean that separates the Philippines to the U.S., right?
Crazy, huh?
So you've got U.S. numbers, but those numbers are actually here in the Philippines. And when you call, let's say, a candidate in the U.S., you know, what appears in their phone ID would be a U.S. number.
Right? Yeah. And a lot of the Filipinos have American accents as well. It's and there's actually no real advantage to be sitting in the US, I suppose, unless you're headhunting a million-dollar CEO, where there's probably an advantage in having a coffee together. There's really no advantage in actually being in the home country. Yeah.
That's true. But, you know, even for C-level people, you know, we can help them find those people from the Philippines, but actual face-to-face meetings can be done in the U.S., right? In other words, we can source for C-level people in the Philippines, come up with a short list of potential candidates, submit that long list to the recruiter in the States, and, you know, the recruiter now has a list of people that he can target and call and maybe have coffee with.
Yeah, that's incredible, huh? So you do all the warming up and... Wow. That's incredible, isn't it? Wow. And and you do this for every role?
Yes. You know, I'd say about 50% of the positions or roles that we work on would be in IT. We've got roles that are in engineering, in healthcare, you know, in logistics, light industries, light commercial jobs. So it's now across the board, different sectors.
And what's a good client versus a bad client for you? If an SME comes to you wanting one person, Is that a job for you, or are you into the kind
Yes,
of bulk
yes.
hiring?
The biggest client that we have about 20 people or 20 recruiters assigned to that client. And the smallest client we have would be something like two recruiters in one account. So we don't mind, starting small, small fish become ultimately big fish. And we're not very, in other words, we don't discriminate against boutique or small firms.
And do you only hire within the US? Are you in a position to hire in the Philippines for US firms? Do you do that at all?
We have what we call an offshore staffing division. So we also have clients in the US, for instance, who would need support in terms of network engineering, help the support, or even data analysts. So we have another division here that provides, offshore staffing, right? It's basically, let's say they need a remote network administrator. So we recruit for that person, we hire that person, we put them in our office, but they're reporting directly to the client in the US.
And you actually house them in your office then, is that right? So you actually,
Yes, yes,
right.
yes,
And
we do.
then do you, I mean, not wanting to get too technical, but do you, they're on your books then, effectively, and then they're contracting to the client, or are there a number of solutions
Yes.
for that?
Yes, we hire the technical people, we pay their salaries, but they're actually assigned to a client in the US, for example, and is dedicated to the work that needs to be done for the US client.
It's fascinating, isn't it? It's absolutely end to end, really. It's and then so just our audience is predominantly sort of SME. It's business owners. It's people that are either outsourcing at the moment or seriously considering it. The options for them are that you can potentially source people. Now, yeah. Sorry, go
Yeah,
on.
like I said, since we've been in the IT staffing business for 27 years, we have a good network and database of IT professionals here in the Philippines. So if there's a company, for instance, in the US, UK, or Australia, who is in need of remote IT people, then we can provide them, those IT people, via our offshore staffing division.
And
Right?
recruitment is a very, it's an art, isn't it? It's a very human function because you're dealing with a lot of sort of uncontrollable, I don't know, kind of dependencies. But I suppose having done it for the last 30 years in bulk, have you got this down to a fine art, a very sort of standardized process, or do you see every client, every client's needs, every candidate as a little bit different?
The process is basically universal, right? Recruitment here is very similar to recruitment, let's say, in the US or Australia. But, there are metrics that need to be followed. And we're very data-driven in terms of focusing on those metrics and making sure that metrics and SLAs are met. Like, for instance, if you want to have one hire, you probably need to provide the client with at least three candidates, right?
Right.
Now, depending on the position, we probably need to go over about 10 candidates to come up with those three interviews or those three candidates, right? So, there's some science behind it in the sense that when you come up with a recruitment plan, you got to know where these people are, what companies they work for, how easy or how hard it's to find them, it is to find them. And again, if you want to have one hire, then you work backwards and figure out how many people you need to call.
Sure.
So, it's like sales, it's like
It's a
marketing,
funnel,
right?
isn't it? Yeah,
Yes, it's a
absolutely.
funnel, correct. It's a funnel. To make one sale, you probably need to do so many calls. So it's the same thing.
Yeah. And in terms of the job specifications, what is your process with that usually in terms of do you find that you often need to, well, with the SMEs and possibly less sophisticated kind of clients, do you find that you need to coach them in terms of a job specification, in terms of getting all of the details on paper, or do you already have kind of templated roles for standard functions? How does that end of
You
the
know,
engagement
all
work?
right. The whole process starts with a very concise and clear job description, correct? So sometimes some clients would create a JD that's very incomplete. So we do consulting, we help them out to develop a good JD job description because the whole process starts from there. If you don't have a good JD, most of the time you'll come up with bad candidates, right? So with a JD, with a job description, we kind of figure out what must-haves need to be there, right? So let's say we identify five must-haves, and then we look for candidates that have all those five must-haves. That way, there's a perfect match, and there's no reason why, a candidate would be rejected as long as he or she has those must-haves that were specified in the job description.
Absolutely. The essence really is in the job description, isn't it? And I know
Starts there.
far too many employers that don't want to spend the time in getting those right.
It's very important. Very, very important. It's like those are the specifications of a job, okay? And the product that you produce should match the specifications. So, as an analogy, if you're in manufacturing, you've got specifications. The product you produce need to have those specs.
Are there sort of standardized templates though that you can dig into after years of, if you want, I don't know, and this is a problem as an employer. I might not know the ideal full stack developer, but you might have better insight than me in terms of what a good job spec for that looks like.
Sure. All jobs would probably have an existing JD or job description, but each client would require special needs or would have a few peculiarities that need to be included in that JD.
Fantastic.
Right?
And fees, how do they work? Is it sort of upfront? Is it an engagement thing? I mean, what is the standard in the industry, and do you kind of go
For
along with that?
offshore RPO, it's very similar to call center seats. The fees are based on the recruiters that you hire. All right. So we provide a monthly rate, a monthly fee for each of the recruiters that you hire. Right? Like for instance, if you need a recruiter here in the Philippines, we can provide you a recruiter for a certain monthly rate. Right? And that recruiter will work exclusively for you and will be dedicated to your jobs and will not work on anything else. So in effect, he becomes an extension of your office here.
And these recruiters, they do end-to-end recruiting, so they know how to kind of tweak a job spec. They know how to search the market. They know how to engage with the candidate. They know how to interview the candidate. They can do all of the end-to-end tasks, typically, is that right?
Yes, yes. The JD would come from the staffing company in the States, and you can assume because they're a staffing company themselves, the JD would basically be complete and correct. So our job would be to look at all the must-haves of that JD, go through the different database, go through LinkedIn, Indeed, even Craigslist, job boards like Monster, Dice, Career Builder, and call candidates who we think would be a good fit for the JD. And we start vetting them, we start getting their interests, asking about their availabilities, selling the opportunity to them.
Fantastic. And obviously with the RPO, with the recruiter that you have sitting in your facilities, they're guided. They're not just kind of lone recruiters, but they have your systems, your processes, your oversight, and the expertise of SysGen RPO
Oh
behind
yes.
it.
We actually have a training department, we have a training manager. As I said, in recruitment there are metrics for each of the steps, right? if, let's say, a recruiter is not able to deliver the numbers that's required for each step, then, we ask the training manager to look into it and, try to develop training courses that will improve, the steps for that particular process.
Fantastic. It's like one-stop recruitment in a box, really, isn't it? That's incredible.
That's correct.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. It's been an absolute, a delightful insight into the world of recruiting and the world of RPO. So I'm really glad to have kind of completed that circle of that sector. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, if they want to know any more about CisGen RPO or CisGen, the original firm, how can they do that?
It's very easy. Just go to the just Google CisGen RPO. You're gonna find us there. I can also leave my number. It's a US number for clients in the US to give us a call. That number is 213-814-3126. But again, just Google CisGen RPO and you're gonna find us there.
Fantastic. And we'll put all of that in the show notes, obviously. Thank you so much, Jimmy.
Thank you so much, Eric. It was nice. A privilege. Thank you.
Okay, that was Jimmy Rower of CisGen RPO. I had a fantastic conversation with Jimmy. If you want to get in touch with Jimmy or want to know any more about what they do, go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/193. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.